Nathan Radke is the author of an essay called Sartre and Peanuts. The article appears in an issue of Philosophy Now magazine. In his essay, Radke argues that good old Charlie Brown and his friends are in touch with their inner existentialists. Radke told Anne Strangechamps when he first noticed the existential side of Charles M. Schulz's characters.
The one that sort of switched off the light in my brain was there was an article in which Linus is complaining to Lucy about his tongue and how he can feel his tongue and he's aware of his tongue. And once that happens, he can't ignore his tongue and he's aware of the existence of his tongue. And then, of course, as soon as that happens, Lucy becomes aware of her tongue and is quite unhappy about it. And that reminded me very much of Jean-Paul Sartre's work Nausea, mm-hmm. which I believe was the late 30s, in which the main character has pretty much that experience, only instead of a few panels, it takes 120 pages.
So it's the horror of self-consciousness
that yeah,
is
in a way it
part
is.
Of existentialism.
Mm-hmm.
That's so Charlie Brown, don't you think? So much of his life seems to be about the horrifying part of realizing that he's alive and who he is.
Exactly, and the trials and the tribulations of having to be alive.
He's always kind of despairing over just his Charlie Brownness.
Yeah, and in fact, you use the word despair, which is the very word that Jean-Paul Sartre uses when he's talking about some of the feelings and the emotions that existentialist philosophy will sort of bring about in the subject.
Speaking of the hell of yourself, I was thinking about poor Charlie Brown, who experiences over and over again the agony of his first crush on the little redheaded girl.
Oh, yes. And actually, Schulz himself sort of had a little red-haired woman when he was a young man who rejected him, which, of course, I think informed the strip later on. But that's a good example of bad faith, this idea that he never actually goes up and talks to her. And Schulz has said that he couldn't. There is just no way that he could have a strip in which either the red-haired girl appears or he actually builds up the courage to talk to her.
Why?
Well, the humor is not in the fact that he couldn't talk to her. Because if he couldn't talk to her, then he could be content with that. He could simply say, you know what, it is impossible for me to talk to her. The problem comes in, and the despair, the existential despair sets in, because he could talk to her. Because he has that freedom, that he could just get up, put down the peanut butter sandwich, get off the bench, and walk over and actually say hello to her. And that is what's terrifying. As Sartre said, if you're born a coward, and that's your essence, if your essence as a coward precedes your existence, then you can be content. You can simply say, well, you know, I was made a coward, and I will simply do cowardly things. And if you're made a hero, then you can go on and do heroic things. But the despair sets in when you realize that you were a coward or a hero after the fact, based on your actions. Your existence precedes your essence, which, of course, is where existentialism comes in.
What are your favorite Charlie Brown cartoons?
One of my favorite ones, one where Sally is jumping rope, and she's happy as anything, and then she stops and bursts out crying. And her big brother, Charlie Brown, comes running out and says, Sally, what's wrong? And she stands there with the rope, and she says, suddenly it all seems so futile. And that would probably have been a better example of one of my favorite strips, and also one that does provide some kind of existentialist theme. Because this idea of absurdity and how we have to make our own meaning, and that there is no meaning out there, but we're basically lost and abandoned and skipping rope and trying not to find it futile.
I know a lot of people have said that the Charlie Brown comic strips actually reflect conservative Christianity, but I guess I've never quite seen that. However, the existentialists did write a lot about God and the idea that we'd been abandoned by God. Do you see any of that in the Charlie Brown strips?
Well, that was after I came across the tongue strip. I passed through a few strips about the Great Pumpkin. And, of course, we're all familiar with the story of the Great Pumpkin. Every Halloween, Linus waits in a pumpkin patch for this deity to come, and he has absolute faith in him, and he never shows up. He will never show up. It's like waiting for Godot on the Saturday pages. And I found that that was a very good example of this idea of abandonment. Now, talking about God, I mean, there's very many different versions of existentialism. Kierkegaard, one of the first existentialists, was a devout believer in God, but felt that basically, as humans, we were, in a sense, abandoned by him. We were still free to make our own meaning, but part of that meaning could be faith. and that you couldn't look to logic for faith, and you couldn't look to reason for faith, but you just had to ultimately make this great leap, even though there would be a tremendous silence that would come from God as the answer to your prayers.
So now it's not just that Charlie Brown is an existentialist. Linus is a Kierkegaardian.
Oh, yes. Linus is very Kierkegaardian. Because Linus is, he's abandoned and alone. He makes this, I might be taking the metaphor too far here. I think it's very likely. But Kierkegaard writes of Abraham and Isaac and how Abraham must make this sacrifice of his son for his faith. And I was thinking that Linus is sort of making the sacrifice of his Halloween for his faith. And I may have gone too far with the metaphor. There's always that danger.
Nathan Radke is the author of the essay Sartre and Peanuts, which was published in Philosophy Now magazine. He spoke with Anne Strange Chimps.